2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, hope you guys had a good afternoon. How many of you guys got a nap today? Good, some of you guys. How many of you guys watch football today? That's great. I don't even know why I even make sports references anymore, because like 80% of the church cares nothing about sports, but I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm still waiting for Mrs. Shamsian to have her baby. I'm like, Ben's not even in Main Street yet, and I already have a problem with the kid. Like, come out, you know? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This morning we started the Alter Ego series, and we learned that we are not our feelings of inadequacy, and we are who God says we are. And though we're not those feelings, we still have weaknesses in our life. We still have problems. There are still areas of our life that we wish weren't there. And how do we handle those issues, those problems, those weaknesses? If our identity is secure in Christ and our self-worth and our value as human beings is not based on how strong or how weak we are, it's based on what Christ has done for me, our view of our weaknesses changes because of the gospel. If you would physically stand me and join me, if you're physically able, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would stand tonight. I want to ask you something. How do you view your weaknesses? In your life, when you look at yourself, how do you view your weaknesses? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." There was given him a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. A lot of people would say there's a lot of different things that it possibly could be. Some people would say it was his eyesight or something. But we know this. Paul had a weakness. Paul had a problem, which it kind of brings Paul back to earth. Because if you're like me and you read about Paul, you're like, this guy was like a superstar. This guy had himself together. But it shows me that Paul's normal. Everybody's normal. What I love about the Bible is that it's transparent about people. It doesn't show that these people are some fake people that... No, it shows that people make mistakes, and it didn't hide their mistakes, so some of them were pretty bad. And I think it can resonate a lot with us, because let's be honest, we're normal people that have problems, that have issues, that have weaknesses. Paul had a weakness here. In verse number 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Isn't that what we do when we have a weakness or a problem in life? We ask God, please take it away. That's what I do. And because Paul is super spiritual, God said yes. That's what he said to his prayer request, right? No. No. Sometimes we think that the reason why God doesn't answer my prayers is because I don't do enough. I promise you, Paul did more than you do, and God answered Paul with no. Maybe the reason why God doesn't answer our prayer requests at times, or answer them with something that we don't like, is because God's got a bigger plan. It's because God's doing more behind the scenes than we realize. Look what God's response was to him. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Translated, no. You know, it's like God could have said no, but it makes it pretty. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Now you're like, okay, Paul, you're getting crazy here. You know what I mean? Like, you take pleasure in your infirmities? Like, when something happens to me that I don't like, I don't take pleasure in it. I'm like, get this thing away from me. Can we change this already, God? Come on. He says, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The gospel took Paul to a place where he said, "I am my strongest when I am my weakest." That blows my mind. But I think if we can understand what God was trying to get Paul to understand, we will have some freedom in life. We will learn how to see our weaknesses not as problems, but as platforms. The next verse, verse number 11. Never mind, that's not the next verse. That's the last verse we're going to read tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to bring this whiteboard out. You're going to talk to me a little bit. We're going to have a good time, and we're going to talk about our weaknesses tonight. God, we thank you that the gospel is freeing. We thank you that the gospel is good news in a tired, weary world. Lord, there are all types of weaknesses that we have. There are things that we struggle with in our lives, and I pray tonight that we can get a view of our weaknesses from the gospel, from what the gospel says. Lord, the gospel changes us from the inside out. It changes how we handle circumstances and people and all types of things. I pray you would use this message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thanks a lot. I'm gonna bring this whiteboard over here and I want you to talk to me. I'm gonna write down weaknesses. Now some of you talk to me and I want to know, what are some weaknesses, you could call them problems in life. Now, I don't want to know what your spouse weaknesses are, or what your kids' weaknesses are. I know you have a full list of them, but just what are some weaknesses that we have in humanity? Not really a wrong answer because there's so many. Who wants to go first? What's a weakness? Somebody talk to me. Being on time, okay? That can be something, okay? Being on time. Hopefully you guys can read my chicken scratch handwriting, okay? I blame my elementary teachers for that, but just kidding. Larry? Lying, okay, that'd be a weakness, okay? That we'll put sin, okay? Sin, all right, that'd be a weakness, okay? George, did you have your hand up? No, you didn't. I thought so. Ms. Hampson? Pride, okay? Pride, that would be a weakness. What's something else in your life you look at and you're like, can this just go away? About something else. Doubt, okay? Doubt. That's something. Doubt. It's okay. You guys can laugh at my handwriting. That's okay. In the back. Laziness. Oh, man, that's a good one. Yeah, laziness. It's so much easier to, like, binge watch on Netflix or something than actually work out with you. In the back, Ellie. Negativity. Yeah, negativity. That's one. Negativity. Should I write these quick? Somebody else. Right there. Do it opposite. Not doing what's right. Okay, family relationships. Let's put that. Is that not a real weakness? Yeah, family relationships. That's a big one. Thanks for that. Family relationships. Hey, maybe a couple more, a few more. Worry, yep. It's a big one. Susan? Disobedience? Okay, I'm gonna throw a big one on here after disobedience. What about health? Health weaknesses. We get bad news from the doctor, we have ailments in our life. Our bodies don't work like they used to. You know, health. Anything else, maybe one or two more you can think of? What's that? Impatience, okay. Impatience, yeah. Let's see, I put a couple more down here. I put emotions. That can be a weakness at times. How about social injustices that are happening? That's a problem. How about work problems? You ever have work problems? I think there's a lot of violence going on. In fact, I'm gonna write down a couple of these. Violence. Work. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at this board, hopefully you guys can read it in the back. If not, you kind of have an idea of what we're talking about. I don't look at that board and I don't have positive things come to my mind. Do you? I look at that board and I'm like, that's a lot of problems. And personally, I can identify with some of those. I look at that board and I'm like, that's an issue. That's an issue. That's a problem. I don't view these things in a positive light. The world and humanity is filled with weaknesses. How do you view those weaknesses? How do you view what's on this board? And may I submit to you tonight that the gospel changes the way you view these. How does it do that? We're not going to be long tonight. Notice number one, we have two thoughts. We all have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. Paul had a weakness. In fact, he prayed about it. He prayed that his weakness would be strengthened. He prayed that it would go away. But before he prayed for it, he had to at least admit that he had a problem. He had to admit that he had a weakness. Can we admit the fact that we don't like to admit that we have problems? Can we admit to the fact that we don't like that we have weaknesses? Can we admit to the fact that we like to tell ourselves that we have it together? We don't like it when we're wrong. We don't like it when we have health problems. We don't like to admit that there's something wrong with us. We don't like the fact when there's a set of directions and we're supposed to assemble these 50 pieces over here by following directions. We want to put the directions over here and try to assemble it, and then we don't like the fact that we can't figure it out. And when your wife says, just look the directions, no, I got it. We don't like to admit that we have weaknesses. We don't like to fail at something or drop the ball or make a promise and not keep it. We don't like to take a test and not do well. We don't like to be confused and not know the answers. We want to know. We don't like to admit that our marriage maybe isn't as strong as it should be. We don't like a besetting sin in our life and admitting that that sin has more control over us than we'll give it credit for. We don't like the feeling of not being able to control everything, and we've bought into a delusion sometimes that we are in control. All these different things communicate something to us, that we all have weaknesses. That sometimes we aren't as strong as we think we are. And then in the face of the accomplishments of other people and the achievements of other people, our weaknesses are even more magnified. It's like they do all that stuff and look at me. They've accomplished all that and look where I am in life. And we wonder, have we done anything right? Have I done anything with my life? Look at where they are. In a world that says, find your own way. In a world that says, you must do it on your own. Weakness is something to be feared. In a world that communicates that in the end, all you have is your performance, your drive, your achievements, your thinking. Weakness is something to be regretted. In a world that says, your worth, who you are as a person, is completely wrapped up in what you do. Weakness is something to be avoided at all costs. Because the world says that you are what you do. And if I am what I do, I don't want to think about those weaknesses because I don't want to picture myself as somebody that's weak. But the gospel says your identity is firmly rooted in who Jesus says you are and what happened at the cross of Calvary. And it doesn't matter how strong or how weak you are, that in Christ, you are valuable, you are worthwhile, and you are a success. In fact, weakness isn't a danger, but your delusion of strength is. Weakness isn't a danger, but your delusion of strength is. Are you confused? Let me tell you a story, and then we'll get to our big thought that I want us to get to tonight and dig in. I was 17 years old. And a few months earlier, I had surrendered my life to go into the ministry. There was a church leaders conference in the Bay Area, and they had a mega church pastor from the Midwest was speaking, and my dad asked me if I wanted to go. So I said, yeah, I'll come. I'll check it out. And I was 17, and I sat in this big auditorium, and I saw the guy that was speaking, and it was like all these people wanted to talk to him, and they wanted his autograph, like he was LeBron James or something, or some famous celebrity, and they were all around him, and I was like, okay, that's kind of weird. But then he preached the message, and I don't remember a whole lot that he said in the message, but I remember he preached for a really long time. You know those preachers that preach for like a really long time, and you're like, would you please stop, okay? Some of you are like, you kind of preach for a long time sometimes. But he preached for a long time. He preached on prayer. And I remember he made this statement that went something along the lines of, and this isn't the exact word for word, but it went something like this. He talked about how much he loved prayer and how passionate he was for prayer and how he just wanted to spend time with God, and that's what he loved to do. And he said, this is 2006, and he said, if you ever hear that I'm not in the ministry, it's not because of sin. It's because I just wanted to be like a monk. And he used the word, I want to be like a monk. I wanted to spend time in prayer, and I just wanted to spend my entire life with God and focus on that every single day. And I sat there and I was like, I was inspired. I was like, wow, what a great pastor. But 10 years, fast forward the clock, he's not in the ministry. And it's not because he's spending time in prayer. It's because he couldn't be faithful to his wife. And his delusion of strength, in his own words in front of thousands of people, I will never be out of the ministry because of sin. His delusion of strength was his danger, and he didn't even realize it. Here's the big thought. Well, before that, I want to read this verse that we read a little later on in the passage. Wherefore, let him think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall. So if we think that we are strong, Paul says, hey, I want you to take heed because you can fall. The biggest, the best, the strongest, whoever, you can fall. See, God is attracted to humility. He's not attracted to your strengths. And by the way, when you communicate with people, people may be impressed with your strengths, but they'll resonate with your weaknesses. So when you have conversation with people and it's all about everything you've done, that might impress people, but it doesn't connect you with people. And Paul is saying, hey, we need to take heed lest we fall. Here's our big thought of the night, number two. Your weakness is a platform. It's not a problem. Your weakness is a platform, not a problem. The world you live in says deny all of these. Act like these things don't exist. Act like you have it all together because after all, you're strong. After all, your identity revolves around how good you are at whatever field. Your identity revolves around how successful you are. The world says that your performance determines your identity. Isn't that what this entire election is about? It's about the performance. It's about what Hillary Clinton and about what Donald Trump can do and how great they are. And if they have any cracks in their armor, and I think we all understand there's a lot of cracks in both sets of armor there, they hide them and they act like they don't even exist because they have to be strong. They have to have themselves together. That's how the world views it. The world puts the weight of your identity on your shoulders. The gospel puts the weight of your identity on the shoulders of Jesus. The world says you are what you do. The gospel says you are what Jesus has done. This is why the gospel allows us to relax and not be so stinking uptight. It allows us to rest because the gospel says what happens doesn't determine who I am. If I mess up, if I fail, it doesn't determine who I am. Who I am is who the gospel says I am. The gospel says you're a beloved child of God. You're not better than anybody else. It doesn't matter how much spiritual things you do. You're not better than anybody else. Your value as a person has nothing to do with what you can do or how much you know. Your value is wrapped around in what Christ has done for you. And we spent two Sunday nights kind of digging into that reality. But because your identity is secure in Christ, get this, you can embrace your weaknesses because your weaknesses are actually good for you. Because your identity is secure, who you are as a human being is secure in Christ if you put your faith in Christ. These weaknesses that you overhear, you don't have to ignore them and act like they don't exist. You can actually embrace them. Because Paul says these weaknesses can be a platform. Paul says something, and I want us to look at it in verse number 10, that blows our minds. And I talked about it a minute ago. For when I am weak, what's weak? Being on time, sin, pride, doubt, laziness, negativity, family relationships, worry, disobedience, health, impatience, violence, work. And if we sat down, we could flip the board and there's a whole nother list we could write. Paul says, when I have all these, then I'm strong. I think when I have all these, I'm a failure. I think when I have three or four of these, why am I even living? Who wants to be around me? Paul says, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because Paul understood that the gospel wasn't just about an eternal destination. Paul understood that the gospel, embracing the realities of the gospel, affected his everyday life. What if God allows you on purpose to have weaknesses? When God allows you to have weaknesses, your weaknesses aren't indicators of his lack of care. They are indicators that God doesn't love you. They are indicators that God doesn't keep his promises. It's interesting, Paul prayed three times for his weaknesses to go away. And personally, I don't think these prayers that he prayed were like one-line prayers. God, please get rid of my weakness. 2 weeks later, God, get rid of my weakness. Then another month, God, I really don't like this. Please take it away. I don't think it was that. I honestly think it was a deep season of prayer that Paul had, where he came before God's throne and he was broken and he was needy and he looked at his life and he said, God, I have this thing in my life. And I would assume, I don't think I'm reading into it, but I would assume he may have even fasted. He may have said, God, please. And Paul says, I prayed three times. I prayed three times. Paul sought God. Paul did everything he was supposed to do. But God said, no, I'm not taking that weakness away. Paul's prayer request was denied because God had something better for Paul. And by better, I don't mean more comfortable. 21st century America, we always correlate better life with more comfort. Better life means more money. Better life means more things. Better life means the relationship that we want. Better life means more security. And it's impossible to have a better life that isn't correlated with comfort. Because if we don't have more comfort, it's not a better life, it's a worse life. And that's what our American culture has taught us. But God wanted Paul to have a better life, but not a more comfortable life. And that blows our mind. Because if God wanted Paul to have a more comfortable life, God would have said, I'm going to take this away from you, and you're going to be better. God said, I'm going to give you a better life, Paul, by enabling you to trust me in a way that you've never trusted me before. Paul, I'm going to give you a better life by enabling you to trust me in a deeper way than you've ever trusted me before. God, that's not what I was looking for. God, there's something I said wrong in the prayer. I mean, when I read the law in the Old Testament, like I prayed just like it said in Jeremiah 33:3. I mean, Jeremiah was a prophet. I mean, he wrote it. I prayed it. I called and you're supposed to answer and give me what I want. A deeper reliance was not a better life. A deeper reliance was not what Paul wanted, and that's not what you want either when you have weaknesses and you pray for deliverance. The answer that you want is not trust more, but this is something we need to understand, is that Paul wanted deliverance, but what Paul needed was dependence. Paul wanted deliverance, but what Paul needed was dependence. Paul's weakness didn't lead him to try harder. It led him to trust more. Paul's weaknesses didn't cause him, okay, this is what I'm weak at, I'm just going to try harder, and I'm going to look at what that person does, and they're going to motivate me, and I'm going to put the earbuds in, and I'm ready, let's go. Didn't do that to Paul. Paul's motivation was not to try harder. Paul's weaknesses caused him to depend deeper. And a lot of times what we want is we want deliverance when God says, no, I want to give you something far greater. I want to give you dependence. We don't like that, do we? I don't like that. When I pray, I want God to answer me how I want him to answer me. But God wants to give you a better life, and not the way we view a better life, but he wants to give you a life of greater dependence. The gospel changes the way I view my weaknesses because the gospel says my identity is secure despite my weaknesses. And because of that reality, I don't have to deny them. I don't have to say, those don't exist. I have it all together. I don't have to say, I'm perfect. I don't have to act. I don't have to be a hypocrite. I can be real about my problems because I know my identity is still secure. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this. A lot of times we hear about people that it's like, how in the world did they do that? Like, I know this person, and then you find out about something, and it just like blows your mind. Well, maybe the reason why is that they couldn't admit these and get help, because they thought their identity was wrapped up in everything that they did. So for them to humble themselves and go and get real help, they couldn't do that because that in their minds, they would be failures. I want to tell you this, you're never a failure. Because of the gospel, you're never a failure. Because Jesus came and died for you and he does not die for failures. And your identity is securely wrapped in him. So when you look at your weaknesses, you can actually be honest about them. And you can look and say, in my past, I have this issue. In my life, I'm struggling with this. Late at night, I'm watching these things on the internet I shouldn't watch. I need help. You can admit your weaknesses and you can embrace them because your weaknesses are platforms to teach you to trust greater and trust in God greater. And we don't have to be over here acting like we have it all together. Because remember, your danger is not your weakness. Your danger is your false delusion of strength that you have it all together. And the gospel says your weakness is actually going to make you strong. Because your weakness is going to make you trust in greater ways than you've ever trusted before. That's the gospel. The gospel says this, that you could do nothing to give yourself eternal life. And God had to come to you, and you had to completely rely on Him so you can be saved. And sometimes we understand that in the gospel to get to heaven, but the fact of this everyday relying on Christ is a difficult thing. God doesn't hold you to a standard of independent strength. God knows your weaknesses. God knows your issues. And when you have the physical ability, let's be real. When you have the physical ability to do things well and you're good at something, you don't rely on God most of the time because you can do it well on your own. For example, if you're good at this particular thing or you have the physical ability to do something, it's a lot easier to not rely on God, right? Because it's like, I could do it on my own strength. Like, I'm good at that. You don't say this, but I don't need God. I got it. When things are going well, it's easy to forget about God, right? When everything is fine. But it's in those moments when you're just broken, when you're confronted with your weaknesses and you're like, I need outside help. Can somebody help me? When we're strong and everything's going well, it's hard to rely on God, but when we're weak and we're like, oh my goodness, that's when we often trust. You know why the better life was a life for Paul to have weaknesses? Because a better life is a life when your faith is growing. Because a better life is a life when your faith is growing. And the way that Paul's faith was going to grow was not for him to do better in life, but was for him to have a weakness and to be confronted with that weakness. And maybe the reason why you have weaknesses and you have issues is because God says that is how that person's faith is going to grow. And maybe we're denying or acting like we don't exist when really those are the catalysts for our faith to grow. Wow. That's why Paul could say, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Because when I'm weak, that's when I'm depending greater on God. And you are never stronger than when you deny the fact, when you admit the fact that you have problems and you delve deeper into your faith. That is when you're strong. We are weak when we are relying on ourselves. I'm going to say a statement, and a lot of you aren't going to agree with it, and that's okay. If something causes you to trust God more, it's a good thing for you. If something causes you to trust God more, it's a good thing for you. A health problem, a job problem, a relationship problem, a family problem. If some circumstance happens in your life and it causes you to trust God more, it's good for you. Weakness is not a problem. It's a platform for you to trust God. Weakness is not a problem. It's a platform for you to trust God. And in your weakness, when you rely on God, you're going to find out that God is real. You're going to find out that God really wants to help you. You're going to find out that God really cares about you. You're going to find out that God is interested in the small details of your life. And in our weaknesses, they're not a problem. They're a platform. And this is why Paul said this, that we don't understand. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's like, a weakness, I'm going to embrace it because it's going to make me be a stronger Christian. A weakness, I'm going to embrace it because it's going to make me rely deeper on God. We don't understand it because in our culture, weakness is a problem. But in the gospel, my identity is secured so I can embrace my weakness. And Paul says, you know what? I've come to a place where God said, nope, this is your problem. This is something you're going to face every day of your life. And that is what's going to grow your faith. And Paul says, because of that, I will glory in my infirmities. We need to stop viewing all of these as problems. And we need to start viewing them as platforms. We need to stop viewing every single issue with the world. This is a problem. the world, it's just blowing, it's going crazy. And say, no, this is a platform for me to anchor my faith in God and not who gets elected in November. All these social injustices, yeah, they aren't a good thing. But this is an opportunity for us as a country to come together and trust the God that can bring us together. Because only God can do that. And we need God to do that. My health issue, man, I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? This is a platform for me to grow in my faith through this difficult time that I wish did not happen. I don't know what you're facing, but according to Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians 12, it's not a problem. It's a platform. If you can condition your heart to see that weakness through the lens of the gospel, through the fact that your identity is secure, it will cause you to trust God in deeper ways. And no matter what your weakness is, no matter what your secret is, no matter what your deep, dark problems are that nobody knows and you don't want to come out, God's strength is always up to the task if you'll trust Him. And each time you acknowledge your weakness and cry out to Him, you are teaching your heart that you need to rely greater on Him. Now, there are weaknesses that God wants us to overcome. These are part of His plan. A weakness with a sin or a relational problem, God wants you to overcome that, and God will give you the strength to do that if you'll rely on Him. God will empower you to overcome certain weaknesses. But there are some problems, weaknesses that we don't like, and you would change it if you could. But God's not going to remove that, because it's God's gift to you. Because the only way you're going to grow deeper in your faith is if you have that. And God in His divine sovereignty and His divine plan says, I love that person so much. I want to give them strength that they've never had before. But they won't trust me without that weakness. And some of us are struggling with some things, and we're just like, God, where's it at? God, give me victory. God, give me deliverance. And God says, I want to give you something greater than deliverance. I want to give you dependence. I want to give you something greater than what you think is the good life. The good life is trusting me. And I put this in your life because I just want you to trust me in a deeper way. I communicated these last couple weeks a prayer, a daily prayer, a gospel prayer, based on the topic that we talked about each night. I want to end with this prayer. Last week, the prayer was, God, your unconditional acceptance is power that frees me from basing my acceptance on my performance. But tonight, I want it to be, I think those were the first two right there. This is tonight's, the one that's highlighted there at the bottom. God, you are strong and I am weak. My weakness is not my problem. It's a platform for me to trust you in greater ways. If you will pray that prayer daily, it will change the way you view your weakness. If you will write that prayer down, and maybe some of you, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but if there's some weakness in your life that's just eating you up, if you will pray this prayer every day, you will teach your heart that this weakness is not the problem, but this weakness is a way that you can grow deeper in your faith. Do you view your weaknesses, do you view all of these the same way society does? Problems. I should have put finances on there. That's a big one. Problems. Or do you view these through the lens of the gospel and say, these aren't problems. These are merely platforms for me to trust God greater. You may want deliverance, but what God may want to give you is dependence. The gospel changes the way we view our weaknesses. Let's have a word of prayer. Would you join me? Lord, it's very difficult for me to ask you, or rather to thank you for the issues that you bring in our life. For a heart, for a soul in this room to cry out and to thank you and to say, and to embrace weakness is completely counter the American culture because we're taught to deny them. We're taught to ignore them. We're taught to act like we're strong. But Lord, it's the humble, it's the meek, it's the weak that you're attracted to. I pray for the person, first of all, in this room that has a weakness that you want them to overcome. Maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's pride. I don't know. There's something in somebody's heart that you want them to overcome. God, I pray. I cry out to you and pray that they would trust you to allow them to overcome it, and you would give them the grace to do it. But God, second of all, I pray for the weakness that you've brought in our lives that's part of your divine plan, that maybe you don't want to go away, but you brought that in your sovereignty because you want us to depend greater on you. I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would understand that our identity is not that our identity is secure, that we can embrace that weakness because we are still valuable, we're still worthy in spite of that weakness. And I pray that you would grow us to depend greater on you. Lord, I ask that you would use this passage of scripture in people's hearts, Lord, like it worked in mine. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed just for a moment of reflection. Maybe a time for you to cry out to God and just talk to God here in this moment.